Welcome back to the Kings and Queens and Everything in Betweens to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I am your host, Charlotte Warren. It is Wednesday, getting warm in Austin. It's getting close to wedding season.
And it's almost your birthday!
Oh yeah, I'm going to turn 32 years old very soon.
May 18th.
That's pretty cool. Your favorite person ever. Introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Annabelle. I'm Charlotte's sister, and I am the co-host sometimes.
Yes, you are. And then what's your big update that...
Nothing. I'm single. Whatever. It's not a big deal.
Well, no, not that. Well, no, we're talking
now, so,
more.
Whatever.
The Art of Hating is coming out. She is the art expert. I am the village idiot. And I ask the really... we make art history more accessible for the layman because
that's
when people
cool.
think
yeah,
art history...
That's awesome. Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah, we've done a couple episodes. We're kind of like
we're
chopping
about to release
them up right now.
Yep.
I'm thinking about the next one. I'm excited. It's so much fun to talk about it.
Any
with you, so.
Particular topic you want to tease that we've already
I'm
covered?
I'm thinking performance art. I want to have a little chat Ooh. About performance Ooh. Art.
Oh, yeah?
Devices.
I think maybe what I'm doing is kind of performance art. But so far, we've done an episode on Van Gogh.
Yes.
I think that... Is that going to be the first one?
Van Gogh, Vermeer, yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we did one about like attacks on art when people attack art, mm-hmm. like slash paintings, mm. and
yeah,
vandalize.
Super wicked fun. We will be sounding the alarms as soon as that is out, which will be very, very soon.
Yes.
But we're excited for that. But I'm also very excited to introduce our guest today. She's sitting right in between us. Audrey, do you just want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, I'm Audrey. I live here in Austin. We've been mutuals for a minute.
For a minute.
Yeah. I feel like our niches never really overlapped until now. So
I know, right?
It's exciting that we get to do something.
Exactly. So I always like, so on TikTok, I like to, when I see someone that's like, seems to be in like a similar age range, especially if they're in Austin,
yes.
Texas, who like, seems normal and has cool interests and is like making content, I always like mash the follow button. Sometimes people follow back. Audrey is one of those people. I think she's just super fun and happy. Like she is probably the most interesting job ever. I think it is so cool, and also some really interesting hobbies on top of that. So I'm like, I need to follow you. And I feel like, yeah, like I said, you have very interesting hobbies. You've invited me to like trivia. I need to
oh,
go.
Yeah. You do.
Yes. And so
trivia night?
Yes. Yeah. At Leicester Pool South.
I love a trivia night.
So I'm not at Leicester South anymore.
Ooh.
I am going to be starting at Stargazer on the 26th, I think.
Oh, so. Hell yeah. Well, we love a trivia night around here. So I had to have her on. And then also a bigger thing too, just compelling event, is Audrey has been caught up somehow becoming, it's not her TikTok niche at all, but there's a viral TikTok debate right now about our, about dry weddings versus cash bar versus open bar. And it's been a whole ordeal, and Audrey did a stitch on it with her opinion, and it has blown up, and all of a sudden she has become this unofficial connoisseur of like what is wedding etiquette.
Yeah.
So it's about to be wedding season. I thought she'd be a great guest.
Super excited. Yeah.
Yes. So I think before we go into like let's go into the about you.
Okay, go.
This really cool job that you have. Can you tell us about this really cool job and how you got into
it? The really cool job.
Yes.
Yes, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, it's friends, I just think it's so freaking cool.
The really cool job that I have, I run a small business that does princess parties for children. So if you have a kid or an event and you want Cinderella or Elsa or Ariel or Tiana there, or one of the, 50 other characters that we have, you would call me and I'll get it done. We have swimming mermaids. It's mermaid season soon.
Hell yeah.
Right now. I've been doing that for like 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Wow, do you have like a little harem of princesses?
Yeah, because I was going to say, you say small business. I've seen the group photos. There are like, there's, you employ a lot of people.
I do, yeah. I have, I think like 15 to 20 girls.
That's so
I have a handful
cool.
of guys, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. What's the most popular character right
Elsa.
Now? Elsa.
Elsa? Since I started in 2014.
Yeah.
Elsa has never.
Why?
So I started kind of right after Frozen came out. I actually started, an actor friend of mine posted that she was like, I was Belle at a party today. And I was like, oh, like I've worked with kids my whole life. I was like a musical theater person. So I was like, that's like the three skills that I have at once. Like, perfect. And so I messaged her. I was like, hey, would it be stepping on toes if I auditioned? And she was like, no, go for it. So I auditioned. I got hired. And then 3 months later, the woman who ran the business had to sell it. And so she called me and she was like, hey, do you want to buy the business from me? And I was like, yeah, I'm 24. Like, what else am I doing with
24?
My life? I could run a business. I had no idea what I was doing. Absolutely none. But so it's just kind of taken off from there. I am really proud of how much I've grown it. We were in like prom dresses and terrible wigs when we started. And like, we had like four characters. Now we have like, Yeah, 50 to 75, I think. But
It looks so like sorry. Very professional.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to say, like, just hearing you talk, your voice sounds like such a princess voice. Compared to us, too, like, I feel like our voices are kind of... My voice is a bird squawk, and so hearing your voice, I'm like, oh my God, you sound like a princess.
Yeah, totally. And we can cut this question out if this is, like, an uncomfortable question. Do you ever get, like, when you've, like, met people or, like, ever, like, on dates, like, have you ever had guys be like, can you do the voice or something like that? Or, like, get really excited or anything like that?
Not often. Mm-hmm. I haven't. I did once. So, and I'm, like... Because I've been doing this for 10 years, and since I've, like, run the business, there's so much information about Disney princesses in my brain, unfortunately. They all have different voices, right? So you have kind of, like, a stereotypical princess voice in your mind, but, like, Snow White is like, what do you do when you're sad? Oh, you sing a song! And then...
That's so cool!
And then Belle is like... Well, it's my favorite. Far off places, daring sword fights, magic spells, a prince in disguise.
Oh my God. Read me bedtime stories every day for the rest of my life.
Oh my God. Have you ever thought about doing it like as an actual face character for Disney and stuff?
I have thought about it. I have a lot of friends that have done it. I thought about it more when I was younger. I was like 24 when I started. I'm 34 now. I'm turning 35 this summer.
You are? Oh my God. I would never have guessed that one.
Really?
Yeah. I definitely thought you were like tops 28.
That's no, definitely. Definitely. Whoa. I'm elderly.
Crazy. Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of part of that. It's like... Like, my age out time is coming, and so I don't think they would hire me. But also, you know, I started doing it here in Austin and then just got kind of, like, tied to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, I love running the business. I love getting to make the creative decisions and, like, have events and decide how the events go. And that really, like, brings me a lot of joy. So I used to think about, like, yeah, it could be fun to be a face character, but I kind of have more fun getting to do all of it, you know? Yeah.
Also, it's just a need in Austin. It seems like you are the, like, party character company, like, in Austin.
Thank you.
I mean, just, like, South by... Like, I'm sure that must be, like, just a way better career opportunity. Like, I've heard horror stories about Disney.
I have a lot of friends that have been face characters at Disney, and I feel like Disney, you either, like, love it or hate it. Like, working there, it's so polarizing.
Totally. Wait, what's the coolest house you've gotten to do a party at?
We did a party... At Sergio Garcia, he's a golfer.
Oh shit!
Yeah, he's like a super famous. It was okay. Can I tell you? Yes. We can cut it if you want to.
By all means.
So embarrassing. So this house is huge. Like at the time, we did tea parties, so I'd like bring tables and chairs and little tiny tea sets. And setup took like twice as long because the house was so big. Like getting to my car and getting to where we were setting up was like
oh my God,
double time. This crazy huge house, absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I've seen some beautiful houses. But there's like golf stuff all over because he's like a very famous golfer, it turns out. And I go to his wife and I was like, oh, does your husband golf? Because I was like an attendant at the party. I wasn't a princess. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, my dad golfs. And she's like...
They're like the same.
Yeah, exactly. She was so gracious about it. She was so funny. I was so embarrassed.
I feel like it's probably a relief. Like it's like someone who doesn't know, who isn't chasing your husband down. Yeah. Like, oh, cool. Like,
well, and she was so sweet because she's like, oh, your dad golfs. I was like, yeah. And she's like, tell him you're at Sergio Garcia's house. Just like text him and let him know. See what he says. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I text him. My dad's like losing his shit. He's like, are you for real right now?
I love it.
And then I showed her. I was like, oh my God, my dad's losing his mind. And she was like, well, get a picture with him after the party. So like so sweet. She was, you know, and he was so kind about it. Yeah. I was like, turns out my dad's a big fan. And he's like, oh, that's great to hear. And yeah, we took a picture together and sent it to my dad and I think that's the proudest he's ever been of me.
Nice. Well, that's awesome to hear. And then, so, what are you doing? I feel like I've looked at the bio. What do you do at the Driscoll?
I am not at the Driscoll anymore. I need to change that. But I was doing events, which I think is kind of how I got into this wedding discussion. Yeah. I was doing event sales. So I was wedding adjacent. Like, I wasn't the wedding person there, but I did a lot of proposals. And then I, like, literally, you know, my desk was next to the wedding person. So just when you're in that, you see it all. But I also did the tours there, the history tours. And
we've done the ghost tour.
We just did
it.
We just did it, dear.
I actually then just got hired by a tour company because I was like, I was good at that. That was fun. But yeah, so I did the ghost tours. I got to be in Call Me Chris and Selena Spooky Boo. They did a video at the Driscoll. Nice. Then like Sam and Colby did a video at the Driscoll. So I got to like show them around and introduce them to the ghosts. Cool. And it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Cool. That is so cool. And not only do you have a cool job, You have really cool hobbies. You're in roller derby.
I am.
That is fucking sick. Okay. How does that work? Like, how can, if women are interested in getting into it, how do you do it? Like, how do you find, because they don't do that in schools. Like, there's no roller derby in schools. How do you get into it?
That's honestly something I love about roller derby is that you can find it kind of later in your life. And it's not, you know, like if I wanted to be a ballerina right now, like I could take some classes, but I wouldn't get to very high levels, right? Because like you got to start when you're like barely walking. But, you know, people come to derby at all sorts of times in their lives. So I skate for TXRD, which is the Banked Track League, which is the original roller derby revival league here in Austin, started in 2001. And it's really cool. There's you, if you are interested or if anyone is interested, you can go, there's classes. So, Lacey does a Derby Academy and you can start like level one, which is literally like, here's how to put on your skates and get onto
that's
the track.
Where I'm at. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Just skating around the thing.
Can you go forward? Yeah. And then, you know, and then it kind of builds from there into stops and falls and like that. And then if you were to try out for the league, it is, you do a tryout. And then it's a 3-month process. And so the first month is, again, kind of stops and falls, your stride on the track. The falls is important because you fall a lot. So that's like the
learning
first thing
fall,
you need to know. And then the second month is like hitting and kind of getting into that. And then the third month is like putting it all together in like actual gameplay. And then there's cuts at the end of every month. And then if you make it through all 3 months, you get into the league as a hired gun, which is an alternate. And you kind of get to skate with all the teams as they pick you up for bouts. And then at the end of 6 months, you're eligible to be drafted to a home team.
Hell yeah.
So it sounds like it's a really intense process.
Yeah, it's
but
an intense 6 months, right?
It's a lot.
Into a
year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hard work.
I went through the rookies 3 times, I think. And then I was a gun, like, for a year. Like, I didn't get drafted my first time, and then I did get drafted my second time.
Whoa, crazy.
So, yeah.
That's so cool. And do you, and you also, you lead trivia nights?
I do trivia nights.
What kind of trivia is it? We have an Austin listenership. How do you find, what's the name of the trivia series? Where is it? Like,
So I work for Geeks Who Drink, which I'd worked for them pre-pandemic for a while. And so I'm going to be starting at Stargazer Bar on May 26th, like I said. So, but if you just go to the Geeks Who Drink website, like there's tons of quizzes all over town. You can find one near you.
Are they themed nights?
They're everywhere.
They do themed nights sometimes, but like the weekly trivia, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Is like general knowledge. I always say it's like some things you're going to know, some things you won't.
Sports. Sports is always like a trivia night. Like, yes, except for sports.
No, so you got to have like a well-rounded team.
That's
the key.
You have to bring a token man or whatever.
Yeah. You got to bring like somebody who knows sports. Somebody who knows geography is usually good to have.
And Geeks Who Drink is everywhere. Do you recommend, as a whole, do you recommend Geeks Who Drink, people who are looking out to go meet people and friends?
I think it's great. I will say at my quizzes, at least, I have in the past, if somebody comes just like solo and they're like, I'm by myself, I'll like get on the mic and be like, does anybody need a friend? Like,
hell yeah.
You know, I don't know at all Quizmasters. That's just my energy.
Awesome.
But
yeah,
I think it's great. It's like it's fun, it's laid back. I mean, it's like there are people that get really into it, but it's just, you know, like have a couple beers, sit with your friends, and
so it wouldn't be weird to go alone to something.
I don't think
like
so, no.
This. Okay.
We'll go.
Cool. I'm trying to do like alone stuff more. I mean, we can go, obviously, but yeah, like I'm trying to do stuff by
you
myself.
Should do, you would be great. I feel like you would have fun at roller derby.
You should do roller derby.
No men?
Like, do you need, does anybody
no
need a friend?
In the women's league, right?
There's no, so TXRD is, our gender policy is that it is like kind of a women league if you feel like that is your place. So we do have, you know, non-binary skaters, we have trans skaters, but like if you feel right in in this space, then like we're not gonna argue with you.
It's already like an alternative space.
Exactly. So it's very like gender expansive.
Hell yeah. So Annabelle is less of a TikToker than I am.
Okay.
And so I would love to, before we go into the wedding debates and stuff, can we recap to Annabelle what the big TikTok discourse is? And for not just Annabelle, but for our listenership who maybe doesn't keep up with TikTok. How did you become the spokesperson for dry weddings versus open bar versus cash bar?
So my understanding is that it started, there was a video of someone and they'd posted and they were like, nobody came to our wedding and the people that did come like left early and we were really sad. And all the comments were like, wow, that really sucks. And then it started kind of coming out that it was like, a dry wedding and a destination wedding on like a Wednesday, and guests were expected to like help clean up at the end. So then people were like, okay, queen, like I can kind of see why your wedding wasn't especially well attended. And then it kind of sparked this debate, and people were saying like, well, if you wouldn't go to a wedding just because it's a dry wedding, like you're a bad friend. And then it kind of turned into this thing where people were talking about like, you know, of course, then like cash bars as well, because we are barreling towards a recession and bars are expensive. And so people are kind of like, well, I don't drink, so I don't want to have a bar, and I don't care what my guests like. And that's kind of where I jumped in, is because I was like, I think it's kind of weird to like host a part. Like the ceremony is about the couple, is about, you know, but the reception is a party that you're hosting. And like, you kind of should care if your friends have fun. Again, let me be so clear, because the comments have gotten insane. Whatever that means to you and your people, if that is alcohol or not, like, but it's, you know, you're hosting, you're providing the food, you're providing the drinks. Like, that's just kind of the standard expectation for hosting. And then it got absolutely insane.
It's so interesting to see. And I think there's also some of it where it's, you can really see the age divide in the comments a lot. Like, I think there was one where it was like someone put in a, there was a big viral comment where it was like, well, if we don't have to have alcohol, like have a milkshake bar instead. And someone's like, this is a 12-year-old who is, whose experience is at middle school dances, because anybody who is over the age of 25, like it's like you got your, you know, you've been on your diet, you're wearing your Spanx and stuff like that. It's a milkshake bar. Like,
I'm not going to a milkshake bar. Yeah, I'm not drinking tequila soda.
I'm not farting at somebody's wedding. Yeah, no, for real. It's like, this is, and so it's very interesting. Like, it seems like the debate, you can see the generational divide, and you can also just kind of see where like maybe Gen Z has kind of, you know, COVID weddings have gotten smaller. Yes. Maybe they haven't picked up wedding etiquette naturally in the way that maybe we have, because we've naturally just been going to weddings, and you kind of pick up that information as you go.
I think something that at least has hit me in this is saying, like I think less weddings, less, you know, when you're in your kind of mid early 20s, you just don't go to as many like out of town weddings. Mm-hmm. So it's also not as like a big investment of your time and energy. But I also feel like this is kind of part of just having the internet like at our disposal, because I think about, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, if I were the same age and if I had been like, oh, I think I'm gonna have a cash bar at my wedding, like it would have been my mom that was like, honey, that's tacky, don't do that, you know. And like, you can accept that coming from your mom or from an aunt or from a loved one, but I think when people have an idea in their head and then they're hearing a different opinion on social media, it like hits different, you know. It's people get really defensive about it.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's just such an interesting discourse. And of course, like, I think it's just a discussion that has allowed people to stand on Moral Mountain, because then it becomes this, you know, if you can't have alcohol to have fun, that's what it's turned into. Because I think, personally, I think the cash bars are bad. Like, no matter what your situation is, like, you shouldn't be having a cash, you shouldn't be passing that along to your guests. You shouldn't be making your guests pay, in the same way that if you hosted a birthday party, you can have whatever you want to do for your birthday party. Like, and your guests, your friends show up, they would, you know, hope that there would be drinks there. You don't just say like, oh no, that's on you, like, kind of trashy. But because there was like a moral thing with, you know, drinking alcohol, open bar versus, you know, dry wedding, people are kind of like, it's turned into this, oh well, you need alcohol to have fun.
Which is interesting. I was getting a lot of those comments. People are like, I guess you're an alcoholic then. I'm like, damn, slow down. It's interesting, and it's, to me, and this is what I've been saying, it's more about like the expectations and the gesture and the like, because even if I were at a couple, you know, like I if I'm at a Mormon wedding, like I'm not expecting a full bar, you know, like that's not the culture, but I am going to expect like cute mocktails. Like I am going to expect good food, because it's like you want your guests to enjoy the experience. And same with like, you know, again, bars are expensive, but like, budgets are very fluid within a wedding. And that's why I was like, if you invite me to your like backyard wedding in the afternoon, like I am expecting a cooler Lone Stars and like Nana's potato salad. You know what I mean? Like I am not expecting anything crazy. But if it is black tie, if I've had to valet my car and buy a new dress and, you know, again, put all this time and money, and then you can't get me a glass of Prosecco, like,
Can I ask a question? The wedding in question that we were talking about, you said it was a destination wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, where? Like,
was I have
it like
no idea.
Oh, it wasn't, didn't clarify whether yeah. it was like somewhere you have to fly no. to or somewhere you
yeah, I do I think know. It is like destination weddings happening midweek just because they make it so it's like, you know, they, people are going to be traveling from out of town. Like, you know, they're taking time off. Everyone's probably taking time off yeah. work anyway. So that's not as weird
can
to
I
me. As
real? Honestly, like 2025, a destination wedding, you've already lost me at that point. yeah. I don't know. Is that like a more, is that a normal thing? I feel I like think if you're going to do a destination, elope.
Destination wedding exists on a spectrum, I think. Yeah, like, I okay. think it's like, you kind of have to take into account, like, what is the economic situation mm-hmm. of your group. Right. Who else is getting married that year? Like, yes. Are you picking a destination that people want to go to, like, go to or is easy to go to? Like, we live in Texas. If there was a wedding in Cancun, that is same time zone, mm-hmm. 2-hour right. flight south.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're doing a wedding in Italy, different story.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
So I think it really depends. I do think if you have a destination wedding, like, any of your, like, bridal showers, all of that stuff, like, you kind of have to, like, balance that out. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, destination wedding midweek is everyone.
Like you're already
weird.
There.
You're already there. And then mm-hmm. usually people that are doing a destination wedding the right way, they are also doing, and I think this is also should be a bit like a welcome party and like a yeah. brunch. Like they're doing, you get your own personal There's Coachella events. That you're treating people to, or that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, but no, that's another thing you brought up is like, if you want to have a black tie wedding, you also need to provide a black tie experience
exactly.
for your guests.
Yes.
Yeah, wait, have you been to a black tie wedding before?
I've been to a handful of okay. black tie weddings as guests and, you know, working at the Driscoll. Mm-hmm. I saw some crazy weddings.
Really?
Gorgeous yeah. weddings that, mm-hmm. again, was not a guest at, but they looked beautiful.
Totally.
But yeah, like, I think a black tie wedding, it's, you know, like I said, you buy a new dress, you're in your Spanx, you had to valet your car, you're, you know, at this, like, very fancy venue. That's the other thing that people were kind of talking about, that it was like, okay, if you're going to spend all this money on your venue, on your florals, on your makeup artist, on your, you know, but you don't care to spend the money on your guests, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Yeah, because that's a thing that, like, people buy, getting, like, flowers, and then it's like they skimp on the food because that's not, it doesn't look good as, it look,
does, exactly.
Sorry, doesn't look as good in pictures.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, like if you are asking people to rent tuxes and wear a full length dress, I love a buffet. But I wouldn't have a black tie wedding. Like it should be a plated dinner and stuff yeah. like that. Like if you want the black tie look, you got to provide the black tie experience. It's so interesting. I don't know. You can see the generational divide. Like,
yeah.
Why do you think that is? The generational divide. Do you think that's because younger generations are more entitled, or because they just have like less of a connection to wedding etiquette? Like the being like, well, you must be an alcoholic. You should be able to come to my wedding and sit quietly like a little church mouse and mm-hmm. drink nothing while I get married and you celebrate me. Like that feels like entitled to me, honestly.
Oh, for sure. I'll let you take that question.
Well, what's crazy is that there were people commenting on my TikTok and they were like, you're really entitled for expecting to have fun at your friend's wedding. You're really entitled if you expect your friends to buy you all this alcohol. Somebody was like,
you ever been to a fucking wedding? Sorry. You ever been to one?
Like, super entitled of you to expect your friends to fund your alcoholism. I'm like, slow the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. I will bring a flask. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, that's the thing. That's when you have a dry wedding, like that is a thing yeah. that you kind of have to mm-hmm. keep in mind. Like, I've been to a dry wedding before, and it was because the couple didn't drink. They still provided, and they were young. Like they went to yeah. a Christian university, met mm-hmm. there, and they had their iced tea. You serve yourself. It was also casual. It was yeah. in like, San Diego. It was, you know, very very nice. Like. But people were in sundresses and they had the iced tea. They had the special lemonade. It was all labeled very nicely.
Cute.
Like
yeah.
it was very much a, you know, this is a personal conviction. It was not like a, oh, well, you guys got to run to the bar across the street.
Yeah.
That was a personal conviction. And also like I think this is where kind of some hot takes come in. It wasn't a surprise when I walked in. Like it was kind of like, this is the couple's views.
So this was a surprise, the wedding in question that we were talking about. Like people didn't know showing up.
I think it was at a hotel, and there is a bar at the hotel outside the like reception venue. Okay. So I think that's what makes it weird. Is like,
yeah.
it's one thing if it's a personal conviction. Like there are religions that do not drink alcohol, yeah. And you know, I think you know, surprise is kind of like on a spectrum. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times, if people are surprised, maybe they didn't, you know, they just didn't know the couple
yeah.
that well
or read the invite
exactly. Mm-hmm. But it kind of seems like, you know, the couple was very much like a, you know, you can have alcohol. Like, you know, they probably, they, it seemed like they were doing kind of their own thing, but it was just, they didn't want to pay to serve it.
Yeah.
Does this run parallel to like, I don't know, no children at a wedding, like having these expectations and stuff?
Gosh.
Like,
that's
and people being like,
kids at a wedding and plus ones are usually the
division. Oh my gosh.
What's interesting. I've been to like two weddings, and one of them, I remember the vows were ruined by a child screaming into the canyon. Like, oh my God. Like, everybody was like low key, like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. You were there. You remember this?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, it was so sad. Mm-hmm. It was so sad. She and the lady like scooped her kid up and ran, mm-hmm. but it was a canyon. So you guys hear the child screaming
just like echoing
like a
into
mile.
The abyss.
Yes. Yeah. It's horrible.
And so, like, those are usually the debates, which is why I was so surprised to be like, this is a debate. Like, I think cash bars anywhere are kind of trashy. Like, okay. I think, like, if you're a corporate event, you shouldn't be doing it. Yeah. So I'm very, like, but, like, it's interesting to see that this is, of all things, the debate versus something like plus one or kids, which is usually,
I feel like so much more controversial.
Those
like,
are way more controversial. Yeah. And we have a mm-hmm. question that's related to one of those, ooh. Actually. Yeah, while I pull that up, Annabelle, what's your hot take of the day? Let's see if Audrey agrees with it.
Ooh, in regards to weddings, well, I guess my one would be like, if you're going to have a destination wedding, just elope. Honestly, I personally feel that way. I think like destination wedding is like a crazy thing to like ask people and expect. And I know that you can turn it down, it's fine. But if you're very close to that person, And it's like, hey, I'm having my wedding in Italy. Hope to see you there. And then you're kind of like, well, goddamn, dude. Like, I can pull it together, but that's going to sacrifice every other vacation I wanted to go on for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, elope. It's better. Okay. It's better to do that. That's my hot take. But I also haven't been to, like, a ton of weddings. You know? I don't believe necessarily in, like, the bridal party and bridesmaids either, but... maybe that's my like new age.
Well,
view.
Guess what? You get to be my maid of honor, so have fun.
I'll do that.
I demand a good speech.
Oh yeah. I got you. I'm gonna fuck that up. I'm gonna be the best.
Fantastic. Cool. I've got the letter. You read the second letter.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going back to the plus one.
I'm so excited.
Okay. Sound effects are great. If there's anything you want to react to while I read it's always fun to do that. Okay. Not read. Was an uninvited plus one to a wedding and I am mortified.
Okay.
I've been seeing an awesome guy. We'll call him K the last 8 weeks. Great vibes, great dates. I really like him. But a few weeks into dating, he hits me up with an invite saying, basically, I hope this isn't too soon. I've got a friend's wedding coming up. I need a date. Any interest? With how well things were going, I excitedly accept without questions beyond date, time, and attire. Leading up to the wedding, Kay was continuing to tell me how excited he was. When we got to the shuttle pickup the day of the wedding, Kay started introducing me to his friends. I immediately felt a weird vibe. People seemed surprised and just short and cold when I'd introduced myself. In the moment, I chalked it up to him just not sharing ahead of time that he'd met someone, or just his past long-term relationship where his ex was ingrained in this friend group. Luckily, she wasn't in attendance. But after the ceremony, though, when we went to the reception area to look for our seats, I didn't notice my name or even a placeholder listed on Kay's table. I followed him to his table and noticed there weren't enough seats. Then I slowly came to a realization.
No!
Kay muttered something aloud, like, oh, there's no seat for my name. And one of his female friends, I heard her whisper back, yeah, I don't think they were expecting you to bring somebody. When asked if he'd RSVP'd, he'd said yes, but he just had kind of a blank stare when they asked if he'd RSVP'd for me as well. The other female friend chimed in, well, were you given a guest? He had an even more blank stare when his female friend looked appalled. I felt mortified.
I'm so stressed.
Oh, I'm going to throw up, dude. I know.
Kay tells me, here, you take my seat. I'll just stand. And then to make matters worse, someone clearly from the bride side of the family walked over after noticing Kay standing while everyone else sat and ate. She was perfectly nice and was quick to say, here, I'll get you a chair. But I was absolutely mortified. For the rest of the evening, I was trying to have fun but couldn't shake the embarrassment. Oh, also, the cold shoulder absolutely continued throughout the night. And even heard a random guest whisper to another, oh, that's the uninvited plus one. There was clearly gossip going on throughout the night about this. I tried to be as nice as possible to everyone, but it definitely didn't fix the elephant in the room in the slightest. As we went home, I said to Kay I felt terrible for basically crashing the wedding. He laughed that off and said it wasn't a big deal. Oh, and the people who took issue with it are the type that just complain about anything.
Oh,
and they're just bitter because they came alone. When I pointed out that they might have come alone because they weren't given a guest, he looked confused. At this point, I realized he was clueless on wedding etiquette. He was under the impression that since all his friends were bringing their girlfriends, that he was given a date. We checked the wedding website, which also confirmed he was invited solo. Annoyingly, as he realized his mistake, he just sort of shook it off with a smile, saying, well, I guess I learned that one the hard way, and people will forget soon enough.
Oh, my God.
I hate him.
Long story, I'm sorry, but I thought the details were important.
Details were appreciated, for
now,
sure.
Now for my question. I'm having a hard time getting past the embarrassment of attending a wedding I wasn't invited to, and I'm also just really put off by Kay's cluelessness, bad manners, and cavalier attitude towards such a huge faux pas. Even if he learned his lesson with wedding etiquette, I can't help but wonder what other social norms he's unaware of. Also, even if he learned, his friend group was clearly turned off by this, even if it weren't his fault. Or even if it weren't my fault. I don't know. I hate the thought that I have to get past such an awful first impression. We were having so much fun. Everything was great until this point, but I am at a loss for how to go forward. What are your thoughts?
Oh, God. What would you... Okay, what
I'm
would
so
you have
physically
done?
Physically tense right now.
If you... That moment of realization, what would you have done?
If I were the
moment?
Girl?
Yeah.
I honestly think I would have called an Uber and gone home.
Yeah.
Like, I would... I'm not
too.
Staying at that wedding.
I think I would have said something, honestly, to the bride's family or something. And be like, look.
Let me dog, my
I am so sorry. I know. Yeah. And then would have left. I would not have stayed for
that.
No,
I wouldn't have stayed. Which is not to say that
not
this is on her at all.
No. However.
Yeah,
I can't handle that. Oh, no.
Oh,
to
my God.
To stick it out is...
I think it's hard, too, because it's like, it sounds like there's a shuttle, so I don't know if this was in a weird remote area.
Yeah,
I've like been to weddings with shuttles, and they like take you, like they take you out in the canyons and stuff, and like it's sort of like, well, what do I do? Yeah. Like, you don't want to be on your phone and like being the person that's like fleeing a wedding. Like, you're kind of in a rock and a hard place and another hard place on top of that.
Well, because then it's also, even if it wasn't a shuttle, like, did she drive? Did he drive? Like, what's the car situation?
Right. I would break up with him immediately and let it all fall on him, honestly, because if he's going to embarrass you like that, like, he's going to do it again. It's been a few weeks. What'd she say? It was like 5 weeks.
I think she said 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Like 2 months?
That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Okay. He's just getting started. He's just getting the ball rolling. And the fact that like she brought it up to him and he was like, oh.
Yeah, that's what gets me.
It might be. It'll be fine.
I feel like age matters here a lot.
That's what I was about to ask. Did they clarify how old are they?
No. And sometimes they do. Like, you know, 24, 25, this is everyone's first wedding. Because I think you hear like, oh, like, you know, your friends are talking about like, well, my girlfriend, like, and we're both going. But it's like, if you're in the same friend group, like, of course they're invited together without question.
There's... Can I make a confession really quick? There is a wedding that I did not RSVP to, and I didn't go, but like, I just didn't RSVP. I was like 22. Mm-hmm. I still feel so, I'm like, oh my God, what an embarrassing like faux pas that I made. Cause now I know like, oh, the RSVP number is actually very important and it's like really fucking rude to, sorry, can I curse on here?
Yeah.
And it's like rude not to RSVP to just be like sitting in limbo. And I'm like so embarrassed of my 22-year-old self. So like,
Yeah.
I'm still friends with the guy that was getting married, so we're fine. Totally. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just those
and
like
it happens.
It happens when you're young and you don't know the etiquette yet. So like, that is why I was kind of curious. Like,
yeah, like I think like if anyone doesn't know the etiquette yet, you are not like a plus one or a date. So I'm also just like, I'm like going on dates is called dating. I'm also like a plus one is for truly single guests to bring a date of any kind. Like if they're in a relationship. Like the idea is like anyone who's married, engaged, living together is supposed to be invited with their partner, or in a serious relationship. And that's where things get dicey is because it's like, what is a serious relationship?
Right.
Like there are times where people are getting to a very new relationship and like, you know, someone's left off the wedding or like their couples are kind of like, you know, there's a very hard line with like married, engaged, living together.
Totally.
And they're kind of like, ooh, where's an easy cut? Oh, like boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, then you're like, you know, giving privilege to the married people.
Yes.
But Yeah, but yeah, usually it's like if you're inviting somebody with their partner, you invite both of them by name. You give a and guest or a plus one to someone truly single, or you can give it to a person that is, you know, in a relationship and they bring their partner, or they can interchange that with anybody. Like right. If their boyfriend can't come,
can I ask a
I'll
question?
Bring my sister. Yes.
Where do you find it weird to draw the line? Like you people are giving a plus one to like the friend and spouse, but then they don't give a plus one to a friend who has like a boyfriend or girlfriend. Does it have to be a certain amount of time that the guests have been dating before you can invite them both?
That's where it gets so dicey.
Yeah.
So couples kind of throw in arbitrary rules, and of course there's going to be like, you know, it's an easy kind of like soft cut where it's just like, oh, you're married, engaged, living together. That right. is a hard line. There are people who get married very quickly and have very crazy marriages, and then there are people in long-term relationships that just, you know, aren't married for whatever reason. Maybe they don't live together for whatever reason, and then that person gets cut, and then, you know, the person in the 3 months that got married in crazy volatile relationship, by default it's, you know, rude not to invite them.
Right.
And then, like I've heard about that where people, you know, are like, you know, what the fuck, like,
yeah,
we've been together for 8 years and like, yeah, you know me a little bit better, but like, it's kind of rude to invite me by myself.
Right.
You yeah. know,
it goes into that whole like guest experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, if you want someone to fly across the country and like, you know, come to your wedding, like you want them to do it by themselves. Like, I don't know.
No.
The thought of just being in a place where you are unwelcome and unexpected.
Horrifying.
Any kind of party, much less a wedding.
Because that's the thing is like, this is a new.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are a relationship, but like officially, but like, I think I've known plenty of people, like one of my closest friends did this, but she's like, we're not doing plus ones in the traditional sense. She's like, if you end up in a relationship, as long as it's like at least, you know, a month from the wedding, let me know. They will be invited by name. She's like, we just want to avoid, you know, people just bringing like a random opening of dates. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, you know, that's really cool. And I know other people who have that kind of philosophy. But like, if he's not in a relationship with this girl, no one knows about her. And he's just like, this is my date.
Well, and also, you know, again, depending on venue, food, et cetera, it's $100, $200 a head. So,
oh,
like,
sure.
I totally understand being like, look, if you're just, like, swiping on Bumble to find any random to bring, like, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
But, yes, again, guest experience. I think it all depends on the person and the dynamic and the, like, if someone's single, do they have a lot of friends that are going to be in the wedding? Or is this someone that, like, you know, an old coworker from a job who doesn't know anyone else that's going to be there? Like, that kind of thing, you know?
And it sounds like this person has a friend group that was all there.
Yeah.
Which, like, and this will be a dumb, like, kind of, like, man question. But, like, because I know men kind of talk about this stuff less. Like, I feel like women, like, ahead of time, it's like, what's your dress like? Oh, you're doing this. You're not. You're doing that. Like, I feel like women pick up
a lot social
of
social code, yes.
Yeah.
Etiquette and social norms naturally. Like, men, you know, they don't talk about their, like, relationships and stuff. Like, do you think it's weird or acceptable that, like, this is, you know, the guy found out the hard way? Like, is that, do you think that's normal?
I think it's possibly normal that he found out the hard way, but I feel like his reaction is what seals it for me in a way that I personally would be uncomfortable with if I were her. Because, like, if he genuinely just didn't know and then he was like, oh my God, I made a huge mistake. I'm so embarrassed. Let me, like, clear your name with my friends that were getting married, you know, like that would be one thing. But then just to be like, whoops.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. At your expense. Be like, oh, damn.
Yeah. It's also like,
silly me.
That is the thing, too. Like, even if this guy is great, aside from that, like, you know, you have to go back to this friend group. Like, you will always be like the plus one.
Yes.
Who isn't invited.
Yes.
And I would hate that.
And like a partner who's going to let me just like be embarrassed about something. No.
No.
No, we're not doing that.
Never
like,
again.
I think the thing for me would be like, you know, I want to be able to take my partner at their word when it's like, we have this event that we've been invited to by my friends. Here's the plan. Here's what we're doing. I want to show up and not feel underprepared or like, you know, oh my God, like there was this surprise and like this idea that, you know, this happened with a wedding. Like what other things out there is he clueless about? You know, do I have to go and like double check, like, you know, are you sure all of that?
Yeah, no, that's the rest of the relationship. I'd be like, show me the invitation. Let me see it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, going into any like crowded space, going anywhere to any event, I would not try. I would be like anxious the whole time with this person.
Yeah.
Other left field question. Okay, even if you are given a plus one, so you get invited to a friend's wedding and guests, that means you can invite whoever. At what point do you bring a someone who is truly a date? Like
at what point in the relationship do you bring a date?
Something like for me personally, like I've been given plus ones and not use them because I'm just like, this would be weird because it's too early. One time I brought Annabelle, but it was because it was someone who knew Annabelle.
Yeah.
But like, there's also just kind of a certain thought in my head where it's like, you know, there's a certain, even if I have a plus one, I'm not going to use it necessarily. Like, do you think this is like 2 months or something? Is this too early or is this weird?
That's hard. Also, as a bisexual, dating can be on gay time for me. So, like, 2 months in a queer relationship is very different than, like, 2 months in a hetero relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So that can, that kind of, you know, can change thing. I think it's less of a time and more of a, like, intention. You know what I mean? Because there have been people that I've dated for 2 months that I'm like, yeah, this is casual and it's probably going to stay casual until it burns itself out. And then there are people that I've been with together for 2 months that I'm like, I'm in it and I'm, you know, committed and that. So I think it's kind of more of a, what are the vibes, you know?
Yeah.
I almost feel like it's like, can you, if you want to invite this person, can you fully trust that you can bring them to a formal event with your friends where they are absolutely expected to behave at, like, at a certain decorum, and you can trust that they will not do anything to embarrass you? That'd because be. Then at that point, if you're asking, you know, somebody that you've been dating, let's say, you can kind of be like, look, I need a plus one, and, like, I trust you and would love it if you would come with me. Like, it doesn't have to mean anything, but you make me look good, and and I appreciate
it. I did. There was a friend's wedding. This was pre-COVID. And I had a partner at the time that I RSVP'd to her wedding. So I RSVP'd for two because she'd given me a plus one. And then we'd broken up, like, a month before the wedding. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I, like, texted her. I was like, do you, like, do what you do you want me to do? Do you, like, is it, you know, because, like, now at this point you've paid for the extra plate, all of that. And I ended up just bringing a friend of mine who was, like, cool and, like, he's great. I adore him. One of my best friends. And so I was like, can you just, like, come to this wedding and, like, fill the seat? Yeah. And it was great. We had a great time. And, like, he's wonderful. So it was cool.
Good.
And, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Time. But somebody that you trust.
Exactly. It was somebody that I was like, okay, you're not going to, like,
isn't going to, like,
get too drunk or, like, do something weird or, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, like, it's just such a weird song and dance.
Yeah.
And we also have another weird song and dance, which comes with seating arrangements that Annabelle's going to
read. Question. Ooh, okay. Let's read it. Okay, mailbag. Can I stop my friend from putting me at a singles table? One of my good friends is getting married next month. I'm not a bridesmaid. She's only having four and has a lot of friends, but I'm definitely in her inner circle and attended both her batch party and bridal shower. This past week, I got dinner with one of our mutual friends, we'll call her Gina, who is the maid of honor. We were mostly just catching up, but of course, our friend's wedding came up as a topic of conversation. Gina said, oh my God, I'm so excited for you about something.
Oh, no.
When I asked what, she replied that bride put you at a great fun table between two super hot single guys.
No.
When I asked who, Gina shared names of two guys I didn't know but were loosely connected to the groom. I then asked if having two random guys at our table would be weird for the rest of our friends, and Gina replied that it wouldn't be at all because I'm actually going to be at a table of all single people.
No.
Gina then continued to go on about how fun of a group this table would be, and there's even more guys than just the two hot guys I'd be seated between. Oh my God. And she knows we're all going to get along great. I asked Gina about where other friends are seated. She said they'd be spread across two other tables, all of which are couples, adding that the singles table is going to be so much fun and that the bride didn't want any single friends to feel like the odd one out. I was definitely annoyed, but I held my tongue about my true feelings. However, when I got home, as the days have gone on, I've grown more and more uncomfortable with the seating plan. I am the last of my single friends, and it's something I've been pretty sensitive about. Dating hasn't been going well for me, and I often feel like my friend group pities me for it. Also, while I absolutely love my friends and would die for any of them, they have always been your typical, genuinely cares and wants to help their single friend, but goes too far to the point of embarrassing / singling out the single friend type. Awkward forced fix-ups or weird mentions of my single status to strangers, that sort of thing. However, I've never thought I'd have to be worried about a singles table. I thought that was just a thing that happened in movies. I guess my question is, can I bring this up to my friend and nicely ask if there's any room to be flexible in changing seating arrangements? I would feel most comfortable sitting with my friends, people whom I actually know and care about, rather than random strangers. I will feel much more singled out if sitting off at a random table away from my friends versus being the one single friend among couples I'm close with. Also, while I know this works for some people, I've never had any desire to meet someone at a wedding. I'd much rather spend the night with close friends all being together versus shooting my shot at a stranger. And single drunk guys at weddings sometimes have a way of pushing boundaries in a way that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
I don't want that.
So fair.
I know the response for these types of dilemmas is that invitations aren't summons, and if you don't like it, don't go. But this is one of my closest friends. I want to be there with her, show up for her on the most important day of her life. If we weren't close and I learned of these seating arrangements, I would 1,000% decline the event, but that's not the case here. So what do I do?
Let's let you start.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. She said it in the thing, but I was like, I would feel so much more singled out at a table. And like my friends are across the room. I'm like, hey, miss you.
And like, they're like, talk to him.
Yeah. I hate when like when couple people use single people for entertainment. Like it's like they use it as chess pieces. I hate it. And so it's just, it feels like that.
Yeah. I think if she's close to the friend, I think it would be fair to talk to her and like, you know, just kind of very tactfully be like, hey, I love you. I can't wait to support you on your big day. Is there any flexibility with the seating arrangements? Because like this doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately because my first instinct is like, just do it. Just do it and fucking get it over with. And like, don't, you know, they probably have enough stress as it is. But if it is something that like genuinely makes you feel uncomfortable to be like, oh, what the fuck? I have two bears on either side, like two wolves that are, and I'm supposed to just like sit through it nicely and like entertain them. Like that makes me scared and uncomfortable and I don't want to. Then I think it would be, very much fine to bring it up to the bride.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And like, I think one like annoying thing is like people, you know, no one wants to bother the bride on the busy day. Like, you know, like go, you know, take your messaging through like the mother of the bride, maid of honor, or like, you know, don't bother the bride. But like some of these, like some of that advice is like, this is still someone that's your close friend. Like you should be able to talk, like all of the conversations you have had with your, you would be willing to have with this person. Like, you know, all of a sudden like weddings, you have to treat them like this, like very distant person you have to ask for permission from. Like, I think whatever, you know, if this person is your close friend, you should be able to like talk about that. I wouldn't go through the maid of honor who kind of seems like she's too excited. Like, I would just be like, hey, like, I had dinner with so-and-so, like, they mentioned this, like, I would really, you know, I'm here to support you, like, you know, sitting between two guys, like, I get that your intention's good, but, like, I'm here to, like, spend the day with you and, like, our friends.
Yeah.
And this, like, this is just, you know, it could be a, you know, an issue, like, I'm happy to meet people and shake hands.
Exactly.
Like, I'll be on the dance floor at this time with everybody else, like, if anyone wants to come by and say hi, like, but, you know, I want to, you know, sit with the group.
Yeah. Well, that's at the wedding that I had been talking about, my TikToks that I went to recently in New Jersey. My girlfriend and I had broken up in like January. And so I was, you know, talking to my friend whose wedding it was. And I was like, I'm on the rebound. Like, who's going to be hot and single at the wedding?
Yeah.
And she was like, I'll let you know. She like sent me, you know, some of her friends and that was great. But our seating arrangements, I was still with like the friends that I knew. And then she put me next to this guy who is gay and we had a lot in common. Like we went to different high schools, but we had overlapping friend groups. And so like it was so delightful. Yeah. It was like a friend matchmaking situation because it was this person, you know, this person. Oh, we did this. Like, you know, one of those like friendship ships passing in the night. And it was just really great because I was like with my friends. I was with somebody who was just like a good time to talk to and get to know and didn't have that like pressure of like, is this somebody I want to sleep with? Is this somebody who wants to sleep with me?
Totally,
like it was
off the table. Yeah, it's
exactly. It was so great, and I appreciated it so much because again, this friend told me like, here's the people that are single. If you want to like shoot your shot on the dance floor, you can. But like dinner, the place where you are seated at a place that you know you're gonna be at for 45 minutes to an hour, like it's not gonna be a weird, awkward situation. And I thought that was like the perfect balance, you know?
Oh no, totally. And like, is there a right way to like set people up at a wedding, like, or ask to be fixed up, or like kind of enact that? Because I hate the idea of singles tables. Like, I think anything that, like that is designed to like help single people that ends up othering them. I hate the bouquet toss. Like, I'm just kind of I don't hate it. I don't like how it's like, you know, get all the single people on the floor. Like, now let's do the single ladies dance, and you got people like flapping their arms around.
My problem is I get too competitive. It's like my roller derby instincts kick in. I'm always like, no, I don't want to go up there. Like, I don't care. And then somebody's like, no, go up there. And then the second I see it flying, I'm like, get out of my way.
I will.
For like, I'm like the last, like who's not like engaged. And so people are like, go. I'm like,
oh, it's the like, worst.
I'm also just like, and then you see like a kid there. I'm like, no, I'm not fucking doing this.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I'm a bitter curmudgeon.
No, I'm the same way.
that's funny. I love attention, so I'm going up there. Oh. Don't care.
You're like, get me? That thing.
No, I've been the coupled people's chess piece before, yeah, and I freaking hate it. So I'm like, anytime where it's like, oh, you, like someone who's trying to help and like they think they're being so nice, I'm like, fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because well, then also sometimes you're like, do you know me at all? Like when I've had friends set me up that I'm like, that guy? You thought I would be into that guy? Are you for real? Like,
how dare?
Yeah. How like, dare? I'm offended right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. When they like kind of see you as like the center of their, like they're like the best friends in a rom-com and they're like watching like, yeah, like entertainment.
Oh yeah. No, fix up. I feel like so many times they're about the person trying to do the fix ups than the people that they're trying to set up. Like it's, they just want to be, they want to be mentioned in the Our Story page because they got their Our Story page already and now their life is boring. Like I gotta be mentioned in somebody else's.
Yeah.
At all costs.
I had a friend once who was like, hey, there's this guy that like I kind of know that you should meet. And I was like, okay, like, is he cute? Like, what's the story? And she goes, he has a boat. And I was like,
got me there.
Yeah. I mean, answer the question that I asked.
He has
but
a boat.
I think it is a boat. Like, if we're going to point things, I mean, I'm not a person who's like, oh, like, you know, they got so much, but like a boat. I mean,
yeah,
a boat,
exactly.
Do they know how to drive?
Yeah, they say you got a boat. I'm like, well.
Yeah.
Well.
It's my independent woman coming out. I'm like, I'll get my own boat.
It also depends
fine.
On the boat, yeah, yeah. Too. Like, sometimes it's like, if you're really trying to sell something, it's like, oh, cool, they have a canoe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a, like a Sea-Doo, just...
Sea-Doo. Also, he's 65, so.
Yeah.
No.
No, thanks.
I've been talking about wedding etiquette, though, because I've literally only been to three, and each one is a plus one. I've never been.
And you were a genuine plus one for me at a friend's wedding, but, like, she also, because I was like, bring Annabelle, like, we've held this spot already, and, like, I would have invited Annabelle on my own, but, like, since, you know, it's Annabelle.
And it was lovely, and it was fun.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, the other ones I've been like a plus one to like my ex or whatever, which was still fun. I like kind of knew the people there, but definitely the thought of showing up and everyone's like, what is she doing here?
I couldn't do it, or just like someone who looks like a rude person. Like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't help but think that down the road it's going to pop back up. Like, I'm going to show up in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt for like a fancy party.
No, exactly.
However, I will say, just, you know, being a woman and like being hyper aware of your surroundings, I'm sure that how sensitive she felt about that and feeling like all eyes are on her and people hate her, I'm sure that it wasn't as bad as she felt it.
No, I mean,
I would agree with that, but I do feel, sorry, I just keep coming for this man.
Yeah.
But I do feel that like, him dismissing it, like, yeah, it's totally possible that it was like, oh yeah, nobody noticed, but it's like, okay, she's telling was uncomfortable with something and you need to like take that.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
I'll devil's advocate okay. This, like, could this be a person who's just like trying to ease fears in a way that's like toxic positivity, where it's like, it's fine, like, oh, I guess we learned the hard way. It's like, you know,
like, don't, like, lose sleep over it.
Oh, we learned. Oh, we what the fuck.
I don't like, but some people are like that, where it's like, oh, like, yo, this is so crazy, like, maybe this is this person's way. And it's also just like, sometimes when you hear these conversations on the spot, like, some people, that's the path they take, like, oh, it's not a big deal, no one will care in the long run, blah blah blah, like, there are some people who are just like that. And like, for me personally, like, that enrages me. But like, there are some people where it's like, that is, like, I have close friends where it's like, that is the path they choose when like someone's freaking out, is to be like, everything's fine.
I had an ex that was like, I would be like, hey, when do you want to leave for this party? And he'd be like, oh yeah, like whenever we're ready. And I'd be like, right, but I have to shower and put on makeup. That takes time. So I need to back and choose a time to start getting ready. And he's like, yeah, we can leave whenever we're ready. And I was like, no, I need a time. Like,
when they try to be the chill guy so hard that it's like, or they just are the chill guy so hard that there's zero consideration for like the people that
I hate that you're literally that describing me, because Buddy is like, what time are we leaving? I'm like, we get there when we get there. He's like, that's not how it works. Things like this at 8 p.m.
This is type B. Yeah.
I am the type B ADHD person. So that's why I'm kind of like, well, you know, like, maybe it's just a guy. He's like,
sure.
You know, like, this is a 23-year-old guy and like maybe their friends married young. Like, I don't, like, part of me is like, oh shit, like, is this a guy who learned the hard way? If this happened at 32, it's like, it's also like, how many people have you accidentally brought to weddings that weren't supposed to be there? And like, this is you figuring it out right now? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
If it's his first rodeo, like, you know, okay.
Yeah.
I've known a few people who have, like, been like, oh, fuck. Like, because it's like you just see in movies, like, people bring, you just get a wedding. Like, it's just a thing that you think and you never know, like, oh, like, it's about your invite supposed to say and guest or your partner's name. Otherwise, you are invited solo.
Yeah.
That is
that is what that means.
Yeah.
And then you're in pictures too. And it's like,
oh my gosh.
Scrub me from your memory.
Oh, wait, I would just be like ducking and dodging anytime I saw the photographer. Yeah. Like, no.
Oh my gosh. I guess to pivot back to that question, if she is like, I like this guy a lot, I could be willing to look past this. Like, how would you go forward with like talking to that couple or that friend group? Like, would you make a joke and laugh about it? Would you never bring it up so it's not a thing anymore? Like, what would you do?
Well, I'm dumping him, so I'm never seeing him or his friends again.
I would have it would have to be a very good situation. Like, based on that, what she has described in the letter, I would be like, I'd be out. But like, if there's some other information I don't have, you know, maybe
for some reason you want to stay with him and then you do end up hanging out with the friends again.
Exactly.
I think I would give just a very sincere apology. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's a lot of things that I'll joke about to smooth over, but like, I feel like in that case, I'd be like, I'm genuinely so sorry.
Hey, and what can I do?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what can I do?
No, I had a blast. You look beautiful. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, just wires got crossed. I wouldn't throw the guy under the bus. Like, I would just be like, you know, like, not sure where the confusion was. Like, I think, you know, just kind of assume, like I would just be like, I would leave that to them.
You're
like,
better
throw
than me.
Him I would
throw
him under the bus.
Oh, my God.
Throw him. Ugh.
I don't know. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, I can do that.
Any final thoughts on TikTok debates and weddings and stuff like that?
TikTok debates and weddings. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say about our single friend at the... Because I feel like we got distracted back to the first one. The audacity.
Have you ever gone viral before this moment?
I had a video of me as... So I had a video of me as Rapunzel go viral.
Oh, cute.
Where I was talking about like this just... I have had, I think, maybe 3 to 5 parties in the 10 years I've been doing this that were truly, like, memorably awful.
Oh, and so we're out of like, time. I want you to talk about
you
it.
You can always come back. We will have you back.
I'll come back anytime.
Damn, dude. I want to hear about this so bad.
The notably terrible stories. Yes. But so there was I went viral, I was dressed as Rapunzel, just like in my car after a party, being like, let me tell you about this awful party. And it had happened like 3 years ago. I don't know why I was like thinking of it.
Yeah.
And then there was, I'd made some video, but it was right before or after the Sam and Colby at the Driscoll video. Mm-hmm. So people just kind of like found me through that, which was a little bit alarming because they also found my Instagram. Somebody was like, hey.
Don't find anything.
I was like, it was so funny because somebody was like, hey, you're in the Sam and Colby video, right? And I was like, right. But it was like the first person that had found me. So I was like, yes, you are correct. But like, how did you find me? And the guy was like, oh, it wasn't hard. And I was like,
PyMize.com.
Hey. So,
could you give me more information?
Never underestimate the power of young men who like the internet a lot and spend a lot of money on the internet and like how they will find it. They will find anything.
Yeah.
Like they could have, if you found horny, not incels, because they're never incel types. It's always like, they're just kind of like, I'm here. Like, I'll buy your feet pictures. Like,
yeah.
So nice. And then, but they could have found Osama bin Laden, like, in 30 seconds if we put those guys up to the test.
For sure.
We need to use those guys more.
We do.
We need to put more women in the CIA because we can also find out anything. Like, great team.
My greatest pride was a moment when I was at the Driscoll, one of my Gen Z coworkers, she was like, hey, there's this guy. And I think she was trying to find his Instagram or his last name. She's like, we've been talking on Hinge. I have his phone number and his first name, but nothing else. And I was like, Let me cook. And I found
further.
Yeah, I found his Instagram, last name, workplace in like 10 minutes.
Charlotte's a freak like that, too.
I'm a psychopath.
Yeah. Oh, she's like your entire criminal record dating back to the age of 13. Well, like, when you were bad on the bus. Like,
I'll do a free plug for them because they've paid my bills a few times. But publicdatacheck.com is a very fantastic resource, and I've just stayed subscribed. Like, sometimes I'm not supposed to say they give me free months when I do an ad, but sometimes they do that. But I've kept the subscription because I find it very useful. So
that is
publicdatacheck.com. There's your free ad. Sorry for admitting things that are against my contract with you. this has been a fantastic episode. We should do another one. We will also, we'd be happy to take you to. to a beer after this and hear more of these stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love this. Catch you guys on the flip side.
Yeah,
this is so fun.
We'll have you back.
Ciao.
All right, bye.